In Christ Jesus, dear Kareem, his family and friends, members of St. Timothy, fellow redeemed, God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration on this special occasion, especially for Kareem, is recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and I invite you to stand in Jesus' name. Now there were godly Jewish men from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When this sound was heard, a crowd came together and was confused, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were completely baffled and said to each other, "Look, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speaking in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and of Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us around your word on this special occasion. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through it. Reassure us that Jesus is our Savior from sin, that he has suffered and died in our place so that we really are forgiven. Grant us a rich measure of your Spirit, that we would not only believe this message, but take it to the people around us. Therefore, sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Kareem, God has had a lot to do to get you here today. He's been busy moving pieces all around the world so that the event of this day could happen. Your ordination at St. Timothy Lutheran Church in Lombard, Illinois, the United States of America. You were born in Syria, and God made you pursue an education in English. Then he allowed turmoil in your home country to move you to the United States. And then he moved another piece and connected you with Pastor Bilo. God knew you living in the United States would probably be a cause for loneliness. And so through one of Pastor Bilo's sons at a church, if I understand correctly, God moved another piece, an important piece, into your life. And now through Arne, he has surrounded you with a family to fight back the loneliness that you may experience serving in a foreign country. God also, through Pastor Bilo, connected you with the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. And God caused you to desire to train to become a pastor, and here you are today. Surrounded by your family and friends, and now the members of St. Timothy Lutheran Church and your brothers in the ELS and in the Wisconsin Synod. God has done great work, wonderful things, to make this event happen today. Why? It's because he has work for you to do. Special work which began at the event of Pentecost and will continue to the end of time. God's work is to proclaim, or excuse me, to declare the wondrous works of God. And so as we look at that theme today, we want to make known the true God, the triune God, and his work. And we want to understand this office that God has established, the office of the public ministry. So our work today, Kareem's and ours as Christians, may be a little bit different than the apostles at Pentecost. The very first verse of our text tells us that there were God-fearing men, Jewish men, in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. They were God-fearing. They knew who the true God was. Can we say that's the same of the people around us in our society today? That they know who the true God is, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many, because of unbelief and false religions, do not know who the true God is. And they certainly don't know his work. And so it is our privilege to declare the wonderful works of God the Father, that we didn't come about by chance, just by accident, but God purposely designed us and created us. In fact, he created everything for nothing in just 6 days. And he created it perfectly. But our first parents sinned. And they ruined this perfect world of God. But God has done something gracious, something wonderful. When Adam and Eve sinned, he didn't decide to wipe it all out, start again. No, still today, God causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous, and the sun to rise and set on them as well. God, in his grace, preserves this creation, though it is corrupted by sin. It is a wonderful work of God for him to tolerate, put up with the bad behavior of his creation and graciously provide everything that we need for body and soul. But God the Father's grace isn't just limited to the preservation of creation. No, in his grace, he promised to send a Savior. The second person of the Trinity, God the Son, became man so that he could live a perfect life under the law. Every one of the commandments that you and I break day after day, Jesus kept perfectly. God sent him to live that perfect life in your place and mine. God's Son was then required to take his perfect life to the cross and to suffer and die for payment for the sins of the whole world. Not just the sins of those that would believe in him, but everyone's sins. This is an incredible, wonderful work of God, that he would transfer the guilt of all of mankind onto his perfect Son and make his Son suffer and die in payment for the world's sins. The wonder of that should just blow our minds. That God could be so gracious, so loving to sinful people like you. That is what he has done. And if there were any doubt as to the effectiveness of this perfect life and innocent death, God raised him from the dead. God raised him so that you can know that your sins are forgiven, so that you can know that through Jesus' perfect life, you now have a righteousness before God. Not a partial righteousness, but you now are perfect in God's eyes. By faith, you are saints, holy and blameless. That is the great work, the wonderful work that God has done through the second person of the Trinity. And the third person is just as busy. He takes this wonderful treasure that Jesus has won through his perfect life and his innocent death, and he brings it to individuals like you and me through his word and sacraments. He comes to people in their everyday lives and connects them with Jesus. He transforms their heart. He raises the dead and imparts new life so that fallen sinners can believe and be saved. Yes, God, the Holy Spirit, has been active throughout creation, just as he was at Pentecost, changing people's hearts so that they believe. Now, so that people can be connected with these means of grace, God has instituted the office of the public ministry. And it's into that office that Cream will be ordained and installed today. God the Holy Spirit works through that office. I don't know about you, but I really look at the event of Pentecost as a supernatural event. You have to admit, you've never seen the Holy Spirit descend with fire. And you've probably never seen anyone speak in what we would call legitimate tongues. But at Pentecost, they did. But does that mean that God has now left his church powerless? I know, as a pastor, I'd love to have preached a sermon like Peter at Pentecost. We're told 3,000 were added to the number that day. Man, that was a sermon. Yet are we powerless today? No, we're not. We have supernatural tools that God chooses to work through. Yeah, it appears just like normal water. But it's water which is connected with God's almighty word. Jesus didn't just say, go and sprinkle them with water. He said, go and wash them, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God works supernaturally through that natural water connected with his word. Every time someone is baptized, God performs a resurrection. Those who are dead in their trespasses and sins receive new life. Their sins are forgiven. They're adopted into God's family and made citizens of heaven. That's supernatural. When Christians declare the word of God, to our human ears, it's just sound waves. But God promises that just as the rain and snow come down from heaven and don't return without it accomplishing his purpose, so his word accomplishes his purpose too. through that powerful word of the law, hardened sinners can be crushed so that they humbly bow before their God, begging for forgiveness. And then through that powerful word of the gospel, those crushed sinners are led to believe that Jesus was crushed for them so that they could be forgiven and are forgiven. God, through that word, transforms people's hearts in a way that cannot naturally be explained. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And through the sacrament of the altar, miraculously, through the power of his word, Jesus' body and blood are present for Christians to eat and drink for the forgiveness of their sins. And as Luther explains, where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. That is not just bread and wine on the altar. That is supernatural food for your soul. And God has instituted pastors to oversee the public administration of these supernatural means so that the church is properly fed and nourished, so that the members of the church are assured that their sins are forgiven, that they're protected from the temptations of sin and guided away from the traps of Satan. And finally, they make it safely into heaven. And so these supernatural means, on behalf of St. Timothy Lutheran Church and the ELS Board for Home Outreach, Corinne, are being placed into your hands. You are not powerless as you go about God's work. He has given you his word and sacraments. So put them to use. Be faithful in your administration of them. Point people to Jesus so that they can know that God loves them, regardless of their language, that he loves them all and paid for all of their sins. So especially to you, the members of St. Timothy, I urge you to support Corinne in his efforts in your midst. Support him with your prayers. Encourage him. Give him leads and contact in the community. Help him carry out this important work. Support him with your finances too. We often don't like to talk about the use of money in God's kingdom. But when we use our money to support this office, we're using it to support supernatural means. If you had a cure for cancer, you would probably pour all of your money into it to make sure the word got out. You have a cure for death. You have the forgiveness of sins. You know the gate to heaven. You should be generous in your support of this work in your midst. Pour out your hearts and your entire life to support this ministry so that God can do supernatural things among you. So that he can first of all convince you that you are dearly loved and forgiven. One day you will be in heaven. And there are many people in this community that don't know that yet. May God bless your work and your support so that many more learn of the wonderful works of God. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.